Might turn again to John's Gospel, and we're going to read in chapter 1, the Gospel according to John in chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That verse could be read like this: the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, chapter 14. Gospel according to John, chapter 14. And we're going to read verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That verse could be read like this: I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A final reading in John chapter 21. The Gospel according to John chapter 21. And we're going to read verse 22. John 21, 22. Jesus saith unto him, that is Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The Lord will bless what we have heard, and also this reading from his good word. The coming of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel, and the coming of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, could be seen in three different ways. For example, he came in the past. He wants to come in the present. And he's going to come in the future. John chapter 1, he came in the past. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I believe John chapter 14, he wants to come presently. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And as we have heard from our brother John, he's going to come in the future. So I've three questions this afternoon. Why did Christ come in the past? Why does Christ want to come presently? And what will be our portion when Christ comes in the future? Now let's consider the first question. Why did Christ come in the past? Well, read the Gospels. Let me touch the four Gospels very quickly, and we'll notice why Christ came in the past. I turn to Matthew 5:17. I read a verse like this: Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Why did Christ come in the past? That he might fulfill the law and the prophets. Come to Mark's Gospel. I come to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, 45. I read a verse like this: For the Son of Man,
came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for the many. I come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10. I read a verse like this. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I come to John's Gospel and I read John 12 and 47 and I read a verse like this. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. When I was a child at Sunday school, and that wasn't yesterday, you know what the favourite chorus used to be? Did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. Why did Christ come in the past? Listen to it. 1 Timothy 1 and 15 says this. This is a faithful saying. It is worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So remember, Christ came in the past in order that sinners might be saved. But then, secondly, Christ wants to come presently. If I read my Bible correctly, if I read John 14 correctly, I discover this. I read about the coming of the Spirit. And I read about the coming of the Son. And I read about the coming of the Father. Two verses. How wilt thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? John 14 says this. If you keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. And if you and I keep the word, the Son will come and the Father will come and make our abode with thee. Why does Christ want to come presently? Now remember, he came in the past to save us. He wants to come presently to sup with us. One verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. I will come in with him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. So you have a picture now in your mind. Christ came in the past to save us. Christ wants to come presently to sup with us. Now, just in case I forget it and don't get to it, why is Christ coming in the future? To satisfy us. As for me, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. So remember, Christ came in the past to save us. Christ wants to come presently to sup with us. And remember, Christ is coming in the future and it's in order to satisfy us.
I'm afraid to tell you,
I've been saved for over 63 years. You know, when I was saved, every ministry meeting you hear something about the coming of the Lord. Every gospel meeting you hear something about the coming of the Lord. I heard a brother speak on a verse once, listen to it. Why speak ye not a word in bringing back the king? Why is it conference after conference passes and the truth of the Lord's coming is never mentioned? That's what I'm going to speak on today, the Lord's coming. There's three attitudes to the Lord's coming. My brother has touched one. I'm going to touch two and touch the one that he touched. For example, there are those that despise it. That's the scoffers in Peter's epistle. Listen to my verse. Where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as to the creation. And there are those today that despise it. That's the natural man. You know, there are those today that would like to delay it. If you're a Christian today and you're not living as you should be living, you don't want the Lord to come. My Lord delayeth his coming. That's the carnal man. But what's the spiritual man? If the natural man despises it, and if the carnal man would like to delay it, the spiritual man delights in it. And he says, like John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question today. Let me ask myself a question today. I wonder, are we homesick for heaven? I'm going to speak on four things. Great to have plenty of time. First of all, I'm going to talk about the person who's coming. Got that one? The person who's coming. Second thing I'm going to talk about today is this. I'm going to speak about the place to where he is coming. The third thing I'm going to speak about today is this. I'm going to think about the people for whom he is coming. And the fourth thing I'm going to speak about today is this. Is there a pattern that should mould our life in the light of a soon coming Lord Jesus? And that's the four things we're going to speak about
very quickly. Let's think of the first thing. The person who is coming. Listen to what the Bible says. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know, I like that word himself. For example, he gave himself a ransom for all. Listen today to the words of the Apostle Paul. The Son of God, he loved me, and he gave himself for me. You know, I was thinking of the verse of that hymn this morning, as we remember the Lord Jesus. Listen to it now. Himself alone thy heart could fill, obedient ever to thy will, and ever thy delight. No heart could know nor tongue express how fragrant in his preciousness, how pleasing in thy sight, the Lord himself. Now, the person who is coming, it's the Lord himself. He's not going to send an angel. And he's not going to send the archangel. The Lord himself shall come and shout the quickening word. Billions shall answer from the tomb forever with the Lord. Now, three things about the person that's coming. You know, he's coming as shepherd. He's coming as savior. And he's coming as son. Remember, he's the good shepherd. Remember, he's the great shepherd. Remember, he's the chief shepherd. When I think of the Good Shepherd, I think of the death of Christ. When I think of the Great Shepherd, I think of the resurrection of Christ. But when I think of the Chief Shepherd, I think about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming as shepherd. Listen to what the Bible says. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's coming as shepherd. Secondly, you know he's coming as savior. Listen to what the Bible says. We look for the savior. Who's going to change those bodies of humiliation? And he's going to fashion them like unto his own body in glory. He's coming as savior. But you know, he's coming as son. I turn to 1 Thessalonians 1. I read those words. They turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Remember, he's coming as shepherd. He's coming as savior and he's coming as son, the person who is coming. But then secondly, very quickly, where is he coming to? You know, the next time the Lord Jesus Christ comes,
not coming to the earth. He's coming to the air. Listen today to what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen to the hymn writer. Soon the trump of God will call us. Soon we'll meet him in the air. Him the altogether lovely and the fairest of the fair. He is coming, past the shades of night away. He is coming, our beloved, and that bright and cloudless day. He's coming to the air. But then thirdly, very quickly, who is the Lord Jesus Christ coming for? And I want to make this very clear this afternoon. Every sinner that has been cleansed by precious blood and every sinner that has been saved by sovereign grace, they're going to go when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now, four things very quickly. The first thing is, we're all going to hear the call. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. We're all going to experience a change. The third thing is this. We're all going to be caught up. And the fourth thing is this. We're all going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Now let's think of those four things today very quickly. We're all going to hear the call. You know, very seldom the Lord shouted. We're always shouting, but very seldom the Lord shouted. But you know, he shouted, or he's going to shout, three occasions. Right? For example, John chapter 11, at the graveside of Lazarus, listen to what it says. Jesus called with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Remember, he never walked out. His feet were bound. But he came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So remember, the Lord shouted, and one person rose from the dead. But then in Matthew 27, again the Lord shouted. Listen to what it says. Many of the saints that slept arose. So he shouted in John 11, and one person rose from the dead. He shouted in Matthew 27, and many people arose from the dead. You know, he's going to shout another once. Listen to it. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. You mark my words. Not one person will be raised from the dead. Not many, but millions are going to be raised from the dead. What do we sometimes sing? A numberless people will meet in the air, the Lord that redeemed them, but will you be there? We're all going to hear the call. What's that verse in Song of Songs 2, is it? Rise up. My love, my fair ones, and come away. We're all going to hear the call. Secondly, we're all going to experience a change. You ever notice in your Bible, in the New Testament, there's three moments? Do you know the three moments of the New Testament? I turn to Luke chapter 4. I read about a moment of time. You remember the devil in that chapter? Takes the Lord Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain, and it says, in a moment of time. So in Luke chapter 4, I read about a moment of time. When I come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I read about a moment of trial. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4. That moment of trial. When I come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I read about a moment of triumph. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, a moment of trial. But when I come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I read about a moment of triumph. Now, I don't believe, and you could come to me after the meeting if you want or not, but I don't believe that one moment we're going to be here, and the next moment we're going to be in heaven. The Lord could do that. But that's not the teaching of 1 Corinthians 15. The teaching is this. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And instead of corruption, there's going to be incorruption. And instead of being mortal, there's going to be immortality. We're all going to hear the call, and we're all going to experience a change. Thirdly, we're all going to be caught up. Again, I'm going to quote Harry Bell. Brother Jim quoted him yesterday. I'm going to quote him today. Harry Bell once said this. The Christian life is a life of ups and downs. And we know that's true. Someday we're on the mountain, the next day we're in the valley. One day we're hot, and the next day we're cold. And Harry Bell said, you know, the Christian life, it's a life of ups and downs. But remember, the last one is going to be an up. We're going to be caught up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, we're all going to hear the call. That's good. We're all going to experience a change. That's better. We're all going to be caught up. That's better still. But you know, I've got something better. Listen to it. If you forget all I say, will you remember this? We're all going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. I only heard Walter Norris. I suppose Brother John knows him, Brother Jim knows him. I heard Walter Norris once in my life. Walter Norris was a man that laboured with William True. I heard William True scores of times. Those two men laboured in the gospel. Listen to what Mr. True said about Mr. Norris. He said this: the most Christ-like man I've ever met is Walter Norris. You know what I heard Walter Norris say one day? He said this: God had one son. So pleased was God with that one son. Someday, he's going to make millions like him. And is it so? We shall be like thy son. Is this the price which thou for us has won? But you know, we can't stop there. What should be produced in your life and in my life in the light of the Lord's coming? Let me give you three things. I could give you 33. Let me give you three things. There should be patience. And we'll prove that from the Bible. There should be purity, and we'll prove that from the Bible. And we should walk to please God, and we'll prove that from the Bible. Patience. I quoted it yesterday, James 5, listen to it. Be patient. Establish your heart. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You might laugh at this one, but I read once, three things test a man's patience. A child. A woman. And a flat tire. So remember, in the light of the Lord's coming, we have to be patient.
Secondly,
in the light of the Lord's coming, we have to be pure.
And I'm glad to see young women here today. And I'm glad to see young men here today. And you're asking me a question. How can I be pure in such an impure world? Let me give you three things very quickly. The old sister was right when she said this.
This book will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from this book.
And remember, a prayerful, careful reading of the Word of God will produce purity in your life and in my life. Secondly,
keeping in mind that within my body there is a divine person, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can be grieved, and the Holy Spirit can be quenched. And if you and I keep in mind that the Spirit of God dwells within us, that will have a cleansing effect in your life and in my life as a child of God. And then thirdly, keeping in mind that any moment the Lord Jesus Christ could come. Bible says this. He that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So there you have it. Came in the past to save us. Wants to come presently to sup with us. And he's going to come in the future to satisfy us. Now it's 3:00. I'm going to pray. And then there's a break for half an hour. And be back.